This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. فتاة الخير يا أملا تنير مسير دعوتنا وتقيد مشعل الإيمان كي تنجو بأمتنا وترفع راية القرآن تحدو. If you've ever experienced the feeling of hasad, whether it was, you know, with a sibling or whether it was with a friend or anyone or anything, you know that it feels rotten. It's a rotten feeling. It's a rotten state to be in. And you end up feeling worse. You're the one who ends up suffering, right? The more you think about it and the more you indulge in it. And that's why, sisters, the secret to conquering all of these kinds of negative thoughts, you know, even kind of hatred towards other people or second-guessing them and having negative thoughts about what other people are thinking about you and all of these kinds of negative thoughts, okay, that a human being experiences, the core or the key cure to them is to uproot them as soon as they enter into one's mind. That's actually the key, okay? And you'll see that. And wallahi, if you practice this, sisters, you'll see that you will become a very positive person. Nothing will faze you, inshallah. And nothing will affect you in a negative way, inshallah. Right? You have to become so sensitive that you realize that, aha, shaitan has put, or he's encouraged you to have this negative thought. Right? So for example, you see a blessing that somebody has. Right? And suddenly you start feeling bad about yourself. Right? Whether it's, okay, let's just say, you see somebody's wearing a very beautiful dress and maybe you can't afford to have a beautiful dress like them, right? And you see that blessing on that person and everyone is looking at them, everyone's praising them, okay? Now, shaitan will encourage you to have that thought in your head and he will encourage you to think to yourself, she's showing off, she's nasty, look at her, she's just trying to make me look bad by dressing up, right? Or you might start thinking, you know, I hope something bad happens to that person. You know, these kind of thoughts, astaghfirullah. The first time you start noticing that a certain thought is coming into your head and it's starting to go down the negative route, okay? The thing to do at that very point, before it even gets any further, is to almost like shake it out of your head, right? It's almost like shaitan puts a little seed in the ground of your mind, right? Shaitan puts a seed into the soil of your mind. Now, if you allow that seed to stay there, and if you water it by thinking about it more and more, by adding evidence, you know, to the conspiracy theory that is in your head, the more you think about it, the more you add to it, the more you obsess over it, that seed starts to become rooted into your mind and then it starts to grow. And you know, the more that a seed grows, the more that a plant grows, the deeper its roots get and the harder it is to uproot it, right? So the more you think about it, and the more you entertain these evil thoughts, these negative thoughts, right, towards your sister in Islam or towards anyone, the more you think about them and the more you entertain them, the more difficult it will be to remove them now from your mind and to cure them. So the key is that as soon as you start seeing that you have that thought or that feeling, you keep it in check and you say, no, I'm not going to allow that thought to get ingrained into my mind, right? I'm adding a lot of meaning to this situation that does not exist, right? Because that's usually the cause of most of our issues, isn't it, sisters? I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, how many of our disputes, how many of our issues are caused by us adding an interpretation to something someone said or adding an interpretation to something someone did, right? That person may have had nothing to do with. But it's just all in our mind. And because of the interpretation and the story that we've made up around that thing, we allow ourselves to get affected negatively, right? And we have to realize it's just a story we've made up around that thing. It's not real, you know. So that's really the key way to uproot envy and any of the negative thoughts that a person can have. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold us to account for a negative thought entering our mind. You know, even a sinful thought entering our mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not account us for that. But as the scholars of Islam said, when a thought comes into your mind, that is not going to be sinful, right? But if you then start entertaining it, you then start thinking about it and entertaining it and actually, you know, helping it to grow, that's when it could even become, even thoughts could become sinful, you know. So the key thing is not to entertain those thoughts. So here are some of the other things that the scholars of Islam have said are ways to cure this disease of envy. First of all, increasing our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Because when you realize that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great creator of ours, He's the one who blesses people with things. And He's the one who actually has the power to bless you with that thing that you wish for. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you better than what that person has. When you realize that, and when you realize the greatness of Allah, I mean, just contemplate on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if every single human being was to ask Allah for everything that they wanted, and Allah was to give every single person everything they wanted, it wouldn't decrease from Allah's kingdom anything. Subhanallah. This is our creator. This is the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So once a person realizes that and has knowledge of Allah, what they will realize is, instead of focusing on the person who has that blessing, turn your focus away from that person and turn your focus towards Allah. Please Allah. Plead with Allah. Beg Allah. Cry to Allah. Wake up in the night and ask Allah for that thing that you want, because He's the one who's going to give it to you. In fact, nobody else needs to lose out. That person who has that blessing, they don't need to lose that blessing in order for you to get that blessing and even better than it. So instead of focusing on that person, instead of blaming people in your mind, you know, oh, my parents, you know, they didn't give me a good enough education, or so-and-so, you know, my husband's not rich enough, or whatever things that we might start blaming, and then, you know, subhanAllah, it can have a terrible kind of negative, kind of like an avalanche effect, right? Snowballing effect. Instead of allowing that to happen, turn your focus away from the dunya. Turn your focus away from these human beings who can't help you, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Him. Make sure you're pleasing Him. Make sure you're not disobeying Him. Another remedy or cure to hasad is realizing that when you indulge in hasad and when you allow it to take root in your mind, okay, it doesn't actually harm anyone but you. You're the only one who ends up suffering. And what could be worse, right, than being jealous of somebody and a blessing that somebody has, right, and then harming yourself because of them? I mean, that's just completely illogical, right? So when you realize that it's actually eating away at you and it's causing you to basically indulge in thinking about that person, right, rather than getting on with your own life, then you realize that actually envy is actually only harmful to yourself. It doesn't harm anyone else. It only harms yourself. Also, knowing that envy is actually a crime against oneself and a crime against one's fellow Muslims, okay? Because the one who envies ends up being insincere towards their brothers and sisters in Islam, right? And also ends up showing enmity. And maybe it would cause them to do negative things towards that person. Even if a person ends up concealing or hiding their envy, even if the person who a person is envying doesn't find out that they envy them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's happening in your heart. Allah knows that the cause of your mistreating them is envy. So everything will be exposed on the Day of Judgment. So it's very important that you don't ignore this emotion, this disease, but cure it. Reflecting also is one of the ways to battle hasad. Reflecting on the harms of envy in this life. Okay, it ends up making you miserable. It ends up causing you grief. Every time you see somebody blessed with something, you end up having negative thoughts, having hatred. Right? You become preoccupied with that person and with that thing. And why would you want to allow yourself to be a slave to the person who you have some, you know, maybe some animosity with or that you're envying? Also realize that envy doesn't harm that person at all. It's not going to reduce their blessing. And it could cause you, you know, to have a major sin on your hands, right? If you look at somebody in that way and if you wish for evil for that person, that's one of the worst things that you can do. Striving for one of the ways to cure hasad is to strive to be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Okay? And what that means is not that you should not wish for, you know, the good thing. Like we said, ghibta is not a bad emotion. You know, wishing for good, wishing for the good blessing that that person has without it harming them, there's nothing wrong with that. However, if a person was really to reflect and enumerate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them, okay, then their sense of gratefulness would really overflow. And that's why, sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam often, you know, one of the advices he gave was that when it comes to the dunya, when it comes to the material things, look at the people who have less than you. In fact, we should spend time with those types of people as well. The people who are less fortunate than us when it comes to material belongings. And if you do that, what happens is you come home to your home or you come home to your family and you have a real sense of gratefulness because you realize you don't have a fraction of the problems that some people out there have. And the Prophet ﷺ told us when it comes to deen, when it comes to religiosity and piety, we should look at the people who are better than us, because then that will make us want to strive to be like them and to be better. Some types of envy are natural. We mentioned some of them already. However, what one has to do is really to keep one's actions in check, right? You don't act upon that envy in any way. You do not backbite that person. Instead, you should do the opposite of what you feel like doing. That's one of the cures. So if you feel like backbiting somebody, you should say something good about them. Even if that is kind of hard for you to do, you know, you feel negative towards somebody, you might be envious of that person, okay? But the way to deal with it is to train your soul, not to allow your soul to control you, but you have to control your soul. And you train it by doing the opposite of what it wants you to do. So maybe your nafs, your soul is yourself is telling you to avoid that person. Well, you should do the opposite. You should try and communicate positively with that person. Maybe your soul is telling you to mention them in a negative way in front of people. Instead, do the opposite and mention them in a positive way in front of people. Maybe you feel negativity towards that person, instead make dua for that person, even though you don't feel like doing it. Okay, and what that will do, inshallah, is keep one's sense of pride and arrogance in check, right? And it will force us to remain humble and modest. And that's really how one trains one's soul. Initially, we might have to force ourselves to do certain things, even when it comes to salah, even when it comes to any good deed. Right. Initially, we may have to force ourselves to actually do that good deed. However, over time, that good deed will become a habit. And then over time, we will start loving that good deed. We'll start loving that act of worship. So initially, it is a struggle, and it is about forcing oneself to do things that might not come naturally. Another of the ways to cure hasad is engaging in good deeds. When you're somebody who has a lot of free time, a lot of time on your hands, and you don't keep yourself busy, especially with good deeds, then shaitan plays with your mind more. He really plays with your mind more, right? As one of my teachers said once, I think it's a saying of Gandhi, I'm not sure. If you find a big problem, if you find a really big problem to deal with, then your problems will disappear. Your problems will become insignificant, right? So find a bigger problem to deal with. And then you'll see that these little problems that keep, you know, they're basically holding you back from being the great person that you have the potential to be. And so by finding a bigger problem to address, inshallah, what you're doing is you're making all those little things insignificant in your eyes, right? And this is what you usually find, that sisters and brothers who really have a lot of time on their hands, they're not really doing much in terms of, you know, looking out in the community, what needs doing, what needs to be, what are the problems of the community, what are the problems in other people's lives that they could help out with, that they could contribute to. When they're very insular and they're very much obsessed with their own lives and their own little worlds, then what that does is, it's like an invitation for shaitan to come and play with your mind. You become easy for shaitan to play with. So the way to address that is to engage in good deeds. Go out and find a bigger problem to deal with than these little silly things that keep coming into your mind. Okay? And so this will allow you to occupy yourself with something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.